Accession number 17329, Reel 1.
Mr. McHenry, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
Liverpool.
Which year was this?
1920.
Do you come from a Scottish background?
Yes. One side of my parents was the Webster side were Scottish.
I would have thought the McHenrys were Scottish.
Well, probably, yes, probably.
Which part of Scotland did the Websters come from?
Oh, I couldn't say. No idea.
Did you go to a school in Liverpool?
Yes.
How old were you when you left school?
14.
And did you get a job?
I worked for my father.
What was that doing?
Apprentice cabinet maker.
And is that what you were doing when war broke out?
Yes.
Did you hear Neville Chamberlain's broadcast declaring war?
Yes, I did.
Under what circumstances did you hear that?
I can't remember now.
Was it at home?
Yes, it would be at home, yes. Yeah.
How did you feel when you heard the news that we were at war?
Well, I didn't know much about war at that particular time. So it just sort of passed over me, really.
Were you in any early bombing of Britain by the German Air Force?
Well, they bombed Liverpool in 1939, 1940. So I was here then.
What did you see of the bombing?
It's hard to say, really. They bombed the docks mostly, which I was not connected with at the dock area, but I saw some of the damage done by sporadic bombs in the area.
Did any bombs fall near you?
Not at that particular time, no.
What was your address in Liverpool at the beginning of the war?
Beaconsfield Street, 3 Beaconsfield Street,
which
Liverpool
part?
8.
Which part of Liverpool is that?
Liverpool 8 is the...
What's the name of the area?
Shepton Park.
How did you come to be in the army yourself?
Well, I would have been called up when I was 20 in August. So I enlisted on the 31st of July, 1940. I volunteered.
In order to avoid being called up?
Well, I knew I would be called up on my birthday, so I jumped in beforehand and signed on as a regular soldier for 7 years in the colours and 5 in the reserve.
Why didn't you just wait until you were called up?
Can't remember back that far just why I did it. I can't even remember why I joined as a regular soldier for 7 years, because looking back afterwards, I thought this war might last at least 5 years, and I thought, well, if I stay in the army for a couple of years afterwards, the war might have settled down. Things might have settled down after the war was over. So I just signed for 7 years.
What was the scene at the recruiting depot when you joined up? What happened?
It was pretty busy, and I don't even know to this day why I joined the Scots Guards, but I have a feeling that I was being told, this particular recruiting sergeant found out my name and guided me towards the Scots Guards.
How tall were you then?
5'9", 5'9".
And what was the limit for the Scots Guards?
5'9". I was 5'9¼", so I just made it.
Had you intended to join a Guards regiment?
Yes.
Yeah. Where did you train at first?
I went to Chelsea Barracks.
And what was the training like there?
it was strange to me, but it was I quite enjoyed it. It was 8 weeks of training, and they sort of you got to know everything about the Scots Guards while you were there. It was pretty hectic. I landed there on the 12th of August, and on the 15th of August they started bombing London pretty heavy, so we were right in the centre of it. In fact, the barracks was hit three times while I was there in Chelsea.
Were there any casualties?
There were a few minor casualties, yes. I didn't hear of any deaths, but a few minor casualties.
Were you asleep when the bombs fell?
No, wide awake. Because they dropped reasonably close, you know, within 100 yards, so there wasn't much sleeping going on while they were dropping.
Were you in a shelter?
We were in the barrack rooms. We stayed in the barrack rooms.
But was it the middle of the night?
Yeah.
So you were in the beds?
Yeah.
How frightening was it?
Oh, pretty scary it was.
Did they do much damage to the barracks?
They damaged the naffy, and they hit the grenadiers were also in Chelsea barracks at that time, and they damaged their mess room, and they landed a bomb in the centre of the square, which fortunately did not explode.
Which month would it have been, this bombing, about?
This is August.
And after the training at Chelsea?
I went to Pirbright.
For more training?
Yes, field training. 8 weeks field training.
The training for a guardsman is supposed to be very special. Did you feel that it was very special?
Oh, yes, very strict. Very strict.
Can you give some examples of the strictness?
It is a bit hard to explain. The discipline is very strict in the Guards regiments. Very strict. And you were taught to, when you were told to do something, you did it right away. No arguments at all. You reacted right away to whatever the command was given. And the field training was the same. Physical training was very, very strong.
What about polishing and so on? Especially demanding as compared with the other regiments?
I would think so. Tremendous amount of polishing, yes, which all led to discipline, really.
How did you take to this strict discipline yourself?
Oh, I was quite... Once you knew what was expected of you, you could cope quite adequately with it.
Were there any of the recruits who couldn't cope with it?
Oh, yes, yes. At one period, there's this chap who was 35 years of age when he was drafted into the regiment, and he couldn't stand the pace at all. He committed suicide. He jumped in front of a train on the electric railway. And there were some who would never make guardsmen in the first place. They were rejected and just went somewhere else. There are some people who could not drill properly.
Because of coordination?
Yes, because of coordination, yes.
And you said this man was 35?
Yeah, he was 35, yes. Came from the north of Scotland somewhere, and I don't think he could stand the strain, really.
Was he uncoordinated?
No. They find you out in the first 8 weeks in Chelsea Barracks whether you're going to be any good. And then once you've passed through there, you're sort of accepted anyway. But for some unknown reason, he couldn't take it.
Did you know him personally?
Oh, he was in my squad, yes. Yes. Can't remember his name, but I always remember the incident.
Where was the incident?
At Pirbright.
On the railway near Brookwood?
Yes. Yeah.
Did you see the incident?
No.
Did you see any signs in him of showing the strain?
Yes, there was a lot of hard training, a lot of physical training, and he just he wasn't coping very well with it at all.
Do you think it was because of his age?
I would think so, yes. He'd probably never done anything like that in his life before. You know, coming from the depths of the Highlands there.
Seems quite an advanced age to be a recruit.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
But you were able to cope yourself?
Oh, yes. Well, I was only a young man, 20 years of age.
How were you treated by those in charge?
Quite well.
Was there any bullying or anything like that?
No, nothing like that.
What kind of things did you do in the field training at Pirbright?
Crawling about in the woods, on the firing range, lectures. Street fighting, that sort of thing.
Was it enjoyable or trying?
It was all right. I didn't have any trouble coping with the training at all. It had its good side as well. We had a lot of social activities.
You put here that you were in the demonstration platoon. What does that mean?
At the end of the 8 weeks training, most of the recruits were sent to the battalions or to London, to the holding battalion in London. But they decided to form a demonstration platoon, and the squad I was in were formed into a demonstration platoon. So we stayed there for some over 14 months, I think it was, demonstrating to the recruits coming up.
So did that mean that you were particularly good or something?
Well, we were a very good squad, yes. Yes, we were quite a good squad. We must have been, because they kept us there for such a long time, doing this demonstrating.
What happened next to you? After Pirbright?
I went to the 1st Battalion.
When was that?
1942, early 1942.
And where were they?
In Chislehurst, which is in Kent, in Chislehurst in Kent, yes.
What impression did the 1st Battalion make on you when you joined?
Well, by the time we'd reached the 1st Battalion, we'd had an awful lot of experience in everything, really. So we were absorbed into our particular company and carried on doing more training.
You joined the left flank.
Yeah, that was the name of the company, Left Flank. Left Flank Company.
What were the other companies called?
There was a Right Flank, B Company, C Company and Left Flank. Headquarter company, support company.
Because in county regiments, the companies are just usually labelled A, B, C, and D.
Mm. A right flank company, you had to be 6 foot. You had to be tall to be in right flank company.
Why was that?
That's the way it was.
Anything special?
For instance, in the Grenadiers, the Queen's company are the tall men. See? And also, everything's regimentated, really, because they say the tallest on the right and the shortest on the left, you see. Well, right flank was the tallest men on the right, and left flank were the... Actually, the left flank on the left wasn't all that short. It didn't go down like that. The left flank were quite tall, so you got that impression that it was going to the middle. The B and C companies were the smallest men.
Had you learned much about regimental history?
Oh, yes. We got that at Chelsea. It was hammered into us at Chelsea Barracks.
What did you learn about the history of the regiment?
Well, there's an awful lot of it. I think the Scots Guards had been in every war since they were formed, really. Every time there's a war, there's somehow or other, the Scots Guards found themselves there.
How did you feel about getting into the actual fighting when you were at Chislehurst?
We weren't giving it an awful lot of wasn't giving it an awful lot of thought. You were always busy during the day doing something or other. Your mind was always occupied doing something. You didn't have a time to think about the war.
So there wasn't any sense of impatience to get into the actual fighting?
No.
You've put here that in November 42 you went to Scotland, Ayrshire?
Yes.
Why was that?
Well, that was the first step towards going abroad. We'd been stationed in London for some quite considerable time, the 1st Battalion. And we didn't know it at the time, but they were going to send us to North Africa anyway, so as part and parcel of it, we were sent up to Scotland to do some extra training up in the mountains in a place called, I think it was called a Caracal. And then we came down, back again down to Ayrshire, where we spent the Christmas there and the New Year.
What was so special about the training in Scotland?
Very hard, mountainous. You were up early in the morning, went over some assault courses and then came back for breakfast, and then you would get some lectures by officers of various regiments who were specialised in that sort of thing. Then you were chased all around the mountains. There were night patrols, schemes at night which took you over the mountains in the lochs. Very busy time for 3 weeks, exhausting time.
Were there any accidents in the training?
No, not really.
Can you tell me about going abroad in March 1943, please?
Yes, well, we left Gourock in the SS Samaria, I think it was. And it took us a long time to get to North Africa, to Algiers. About 10 days it took us. Landed in Algiers.
Did you have any trouble with the enemy on the way, on the voyage?
according to the history, we went the sort of long way round to miss all the U-boats that were supposed to be in the area, which is why it took so long to get there, I suppose.
What were conditions like, living conditions like, in the ship?
There were 5,000 troops on board, and it was pretty tight, but not too uncomfortable.
And once you arrived at Algiers, what then?
Well, they bombed the ship going in, and it was pouring down with rain, and we had a 12 miles march to the tenting area in the pouring rain, put all our gear on, our carrying all our own gear, which was after being 10 days on a boat was a bit hard. But when we got there, the camp was practically underwater. I mean, it'd been pouring rain for days on end. However, we weren't there very long. They realised that it wasn't the conditions were so bad. You were just ploughing through inches of mud to go anywhere. So we moved back into brickworks in Algiers, where it was dry. We dried out and ready for the next move.
What was the health of the men affected?
It was pretty good, actually. We didn't seem to have any effect on us.
Did the enemy air force hit the ship as it was coming in?
No, it was a raid, an air raid on Algiers, actually. But with the ship coming into the harbour, they didn't hit the ship at all.
What rank did you have by the time you arrived in North Africa?
Lance Corporal.
So what were your responsibilities in the platoon?
Just had a section of men, 6 or 7 men under me.
Which platoon were you in North Africa?
Number 9 platoon in left flank.
Who was in command of the platoon?
The Honourable David Bettle, who is now Lord Westbury.
What was he, a lieutenant?
Yeah, lieutenant.
So, where did you go to next?
Well, we got on the boat in Algiers after about 3 or 4 days there, and went to a place called Bone, which is up the North African coast. And then we moved up from there into the line, into Medjez El Bab.
What was the terrain there?
Well, it was mountainous, hilly.
Did you take over from another unit?
Yes, I think the Inniskillings, the Royal Inniskillings Regiment, was one of them that I know of.
Did you just go into trenches there?
Yes.
Or did you have to dig trenches?
No, we occupied their trenches.
What condition had they left them in?
Oh, pretty good. We were sitting in front of a hill called Longstop Hill, there was about a lot of no man's land between us and this Longstop Hill. And during the day, they occupied the Longstop Hill, but during the day, we just hid away really in the trenches and didn't expose ourselves, and used to come out at night and patrol the area, go out into the no man's land, patrolling about just to see if we could catch any of their patrols coming in,
Did you?
Yes, I was on... I went out on two or three... fighting patrols, they were called. And that's all we did in that area for a couple of weeks.
How big would the fighting patrols be?
Maybe about a platoon strength. Quite hefty. About 30 men.
So were these patrols under this Lord Westbury?
Yep.
Can you describe what happened on the patrols?
Well, we would sort of go out to a position. There was a sort of road leading up into Longstop, from our position up into Longstop Hill, and we would position ourselves on the road in the hope that they would come down the road, because off the road there were the fields were all mined, so you didn't go too far away from the main road itself. But at that particular time we didn't meet much opposition at all. It was mostly Stuka bombing during the day that was causing the trouble. But in our particular position, we didn't have an awful lot of problems.
Were you Stukaed yourself?
Yes, once. Yeah, that was a bit frightening. It's quite an experience, a Stuka bomber coming. You would think he was coming right into your trench, the noise that he made. But it didn't do an awful lot of damage.
What were your orders for a Stuka attack? What were you supposed to do?
Keep your head down. Nothing. You couldn't do anything. We were in a hole in the ground, and that was it. You didn't come out during the day because he was observing you, what you were doing. You only came out at night.
But were you supposed to fire back or refrain?
No. We didn't, no.
Were you told not to fire?
It was pointless, really. All we had was were rifles and Tommy guns. It was pointless firing at a plane like that with rifles or Tommy guns.
Was there any RAF defence?
Not very much, no.
What weapons did you take out with you on patrol?
I took a Tommy gun. And rifles.
Did you ever fire on any of these fighting patrols?
Nope.
Or see the enemy?
Heard them, but didn't see them.
What could you hear of them?
Just noises on the road, that was all.
Did you ever hear them talking?
Nope.
Were there any local people that you came across in the Medjez El Bab area?
No, it was a battle area, and the people had long gone.
Did you come across any Allied troops, like Americans?
They were in the vicinity, but we didn't come across them, because I didn't last very long after this period.
Why not? What happened?
Well, I went out on a listening patrol with Lord Westbury and his runner, three of us. We set out to go up to the top of this hill to find out where the Germans went during the night. We knew that they'd go over the top during the day, but where they were situated at night, we couldn't tell. And we'd observed this position during the day